Welcome to King Records, Cincinnati Legacy, Part 5. I'm Lee Hay. During this hour, you'll hear from two rockabilly legends who recorded at King Records, Bonnie Lou and Rusty York. Both of these artists have garnered international attention for their work during the 50s and 60s. Rusty York's first session at King Records was a cover of Buddy Holly's Peggy Sue on November 29, 1957. Bonnie Lou recorded her first single for King Records March 2, 1953, and her final session for King was a cover of La-Di-Da with Rusty York on January 9, 1958. Rockabilly legends Bonnie Lou and Rusty York on King Records Cincinnati Legacy, Part 5.
This is Randy McNutt, and I'm here talking with Bonnie Lou, one of my favorites from WLW Radio and WLWT. Bonnie, it's so good to speak with you today.
Well, it's wonderful to speak with you too, Randy.
Well, good.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your early days. I know a lot of people remember you from the Paul Dixon Show, but
right.
You know, I remember years before that when you were singing a lot and, you know, used to crack me up with the things
Thank
you used
you.
To do on TV. And you made a great transition from radio to television.
But yes, I did. I started out on Midwestern Hayride. And because of my yodeling and my grandmother, she came from Switzerland. And that's how I Swiss yodel. Yodeloo! It came natural. And I lived on a farm.
You were first known as Mary Jo the Yodeling Sweetheart, is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Mary Jo the Yodeling Sweetheart. That's my real name, is Mary Joanne. I'm named after my grandmother Mary and my grandfather Joe. And my mother added the Ann onto it. But that's where I started.
Buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. The teacher asked Johnny what he'd like to be. A doctor, a lawyer, a sailor on the sea. He said a baker, you know the reason why. So I can make a million huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. Town don't know the score. They can't get a feller to knock on the door. The boys come to my house and the girls wonder why. They ought to see them eating my huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. Something that I got to know. I want to pop the question before I say goodnight. But honey, can you bake those huckleberry pie? H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle be a buckle, H a buckle I. H a buckle be a buckle, huckleberry pie.
My dad bought me a $2.50 guitar, pawn shop guitar.
How old were you when you started playing?
I took violin lessons for about 5 years. And I started out very small, a little tiny violin, so I must have been about 5. And so I was about 11 years old when my dad got me the guitar.
When did you start singing professionally?
Well, I sang at WJBC in Bloomington at a radio station until I graduated from high school. And then I went to KMBC in Kansas City. I sent an audition record. A gentleman named Al Stoss had left WJBC and gone to Kansas City. And so I had some connection there. So I went there, and I was there almost 2 years. I was 17 years old when I signed that contract. See, I wasn't 18, so I was known as Sally Carson. It gets a little involved, Randy. But anyway, when I came to WLW, because I wasn't 18 when I signed that 5-year contract with KMBC, they said, you can get out of that because you weren't 18, but we're going to change your name. And so Mr. Bill McCluskey, who is Scotch-Irish, he wanted a Bonnie. So that's how we got the name Bonnie Lou.
Okay.
And then I came for an audition record. That's where I really resolved the getting the job, was the audition of singing with the Midwestern Hayride. I got a weekend off.
Oh, okay.
KMBC didn't know that, but anyway, so I went and turned in my 2 weeks' notice, and I came to WLW, and I was there for 25 years.
Well, you're working there at the station, and somebody at King Records apparently saw you, and then how did that come about with your association with King?
Well, they called me up and asked me if I would come out and do an audition cover record of a song called Seven Lonely Days. Georgia Gibbs had it out in the pop field. So I did my rendition of Seven Lonely Days, and then I did the harmony with the voices. The men did. I had some men sing, Zeke Turner and some, but I did the harmony on that record. I did the harmony on nearly all my records.
No.
I would go back in and redub them and do the harmony.
Your favorite pastime, making me blue. Last week was the last time I cried for you.
Seven hankies blue I filled with my tears. Seven letters too I filled with my tears.
Darling, you're
seven lonely days make one lonely week.
There's no use in denying.
Seven lonely nights make one lonely me.
It was your favorite
ever since the time you told me we were through.
Last week was the last time.
And so they liked my rendition of it, so they hired me to do the record. We were going home, my husband and my little daughter, and we were going back to Illinois, I think, like for Christmas. And I go into this truck stop, and there they're playing Seven Lonely Days. What a thrill,
oh,
Randy.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, I thought, wow, I've made it. I'm on a jukebox in a truck stop. It went to number 5 here in the nation, and it was a big record in England and the Netherlands. My next song that I recorded, it was an original Tennessee Wickwalk, and it was not a cover tune.
Bow-legged chicken, I'm a knock-kneed hen. Never been so happy since I don't know when. I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk.
you and the Tennessee. Wigwam, hear a tune on a fiddle on a hardwood floor. Though I'm broke and I'm weary and my back is sore, I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, you and the Tennessee. Wigwam, put your toes together, your knees apart, bend your back, get ready to start. Flap your elbows just for luck, then you wiggle and you waddle like a baby duck. Dance with me, honey, tap your toes and glide, and we'll always be together side by side. We'll walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a swap, you and the Tennessee. Wigwam. So happy since I don't know when. I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, you and the Tennessee. Wiggle walk, hear a tune on a fiddle on a hardwood floor. Though I'm broke and I'm weary and my back is sore, I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, you and the Tennessee. Wiggle walk, put your toes together, your knees apart, bend your back, get ready and start. Flap your elbows just luck. Then you wiggle and you waddle like a baby duck. So dance with me, honey, tap your toes and glide, and we'll always be together side by side. We'll walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, you and the Tennessee. Wigwalk, walk with a wiggle, wiggle with a walk, and you do and the Tennessee. Wigwalk, you and the Tennessee. Wigwalk, you and the Tennessee. Wigwalk.
It was accepted very big in England also, and the Netherlands, and also on the Gold Coast in Africa.
Really?
I would send autograph pictures to Algeria.
Gee.
Oh, yeah, it was wild. But I never did go. There was a booker, agent, I should say, that wanted me to go to England. But trying to get off at WLW, and I liked my job there. You know, I wanted to make sure I kept my job. And they were kind of funny. They were pretty strict. But I did a lot of shows with people out of Nashville, Tennessee, on weekends with Minnie Pearl and Ernest Tubb and Barbara Mandrell, a lot of those people.
It's so interesting to think that you're on local TV here, but you've got a top five record in the country. I mean, it's...
I know it.
Did people realize that around here in those days?
I don't think so. And I don't think King Records really wanted me to know it was how popular it was, but I found out.
Well, you're singing country and everything's going great, and suddenly the mid-50s hit and Elvis comes around and the rock sound's coming in. And tell me a bit about how King attempted to recast you as a rockabilly.
I not. You know, I really don't know. I don't think I ever was rockabilly, but that's what they called me. Right, Randy?
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of the rockabillies were just country performers.
Yeah, because I'm in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. And also with the Grand Ole Opry, yes, I have appeared down there several times.
Well, did when you were at King, did they come to you and say, Bonnie, we'd like to take you in a new direction or something? Or was it just come in and record this song? Or?
No. Sid Nathan would just hear the song, the tapes, you know, the originals, and say, here's what we want you to record. I really didn't have much choice.
So he just had a demo that
I had a demo record to listen to. And some lyrics. And thank goodness I could read music because of taking those years of violin.
You recorded Daddy-O, your big rockabilly hit.
Yes,
that's right. Pop hit. So tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Did Daddy-O?
Yeah, you recorded that here on Brewster Avenue, right?
Yeah, Charlie Gore, who was on Midwestern Hayride, wrote that song, Daddy-O. And Daddy-O, you know, did that yodel thing. Sure good looking. Daddy-O.
Now,
I'm not so hot this morning.
Did they write that specifically for you and mine?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It didn't make much waves, but it was a good record.
Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Sure good looking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Always cooking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-O. You couldn't call him handsome, but he's loaded with style.
always wears a t-shirt and a great big smile. There's something about this crazy kid we all love so. When he's around, the girls will holler, Daddy-o, Daddy-o,
Daddy-o.
Sure good-looking Daddy-o,
Daddy-o.
Always cooking Daddy-o,
Daddy-o.
Ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-o. He's got a big convertible, this fire engine red. Howling and a prowling never goes to bed. He's really Mr. Big to all the kids in school. Everybody know that Daddy-O's real cool. Daddy-O,
Daddy-O,
sure good-looking Daddy-O,
Daddy-O,
always cooking Daddy-O,
Daddy-O,
ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-O. The girls will start to jive, and when they hear him blow, they all jump and holler, here comes Daddy-o, Daddy-o,
Daddy-o,
sure good-looking Daddy-o,
Daddy-o,
always cooking Daddy-o,
Daddy-o,
ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-o, all the girls are batty over Daddy-o,
Daddy-o, Daddy-o, Daddy-o, Daddy-o, Daddy-o, Daddy-o, Daddy-o.
And then I recorded for Mr. Lou Chitty. He was the gentleman that Bob Braun recorded for, and he asked me to record me, and so he recorded a song called There's Been More Sun Than Rain, and I love that song, but it didn't get off of the ground,
oh,
really,
okay.
But it's a pretty song.
Yeah.
And The Tender Side of Me was another one, but that was with King Records,
mm-hmm.
that I was very proud of. A lot of those songs I wasn't too proud of, but I'm sure that all recording artists will have certain songs that they have to record that wasn't their choice. I enjoyed all those years. I really did enjoy my years at WLW because I worked with some of the greatest artists in the world, Paul Dixon, Ruth Lyons, Willie Thaw, Bob Braun. I did a lot of bookings with Bob Braun in high schools and festivals and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I think is so interesting about those days, that the local TV stars could be, the public had more access to them. I mean, you could go to the local gym where they're appearing, or one day I saw an old handbill that you were appearing at a hardware store in Oxford.
That's right.
Just as a promotion. I mean, people could come by and meet you. And I mean, today you couldn't get within 50 feet of someone that had a hit record, probably.
Yeah.
But
there was a furniture store, too, there in Hamilton, Ohio. They were scared to death because the people were climbing all over the furniture and everything. So they put us up on the second floor.
There's no comparison today to what it was then. I mean, you were very much loved and people really wanted to talk
to you. Thank
you. Well, as your popularity grew then nationally with this pop hit, what was the reaction of King? They, of course, wanted you to come back with another so-called rockabilly thing. And how did that work out?
I was with them about 5-year contract I signed. I went to New York and recorded, but that didn't prove out very good. I don't know. The material wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, you got to have some good songs, you know?
Did you work with Henry Glover?
I sure did. Mm-hmm. Fine gentleman. Uh-huh.
Well, what was Sid Nathan like to work with?
Oh, he was something else. He'd sit in there. He's quite a healthy man, and he'd sit there with his cigars. And
right behind the board in the
control? Yeah, behind the board.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be sitting in there accepting it, or let's do that over again, or that instrument is too loud or something, not loud enough, the drums, and so on. He was the producer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, sometimes people say, well, he didn't have much control over the records. He let someone else do them. But I've heard a lot that he was right there.
Oh, no, he was right there, Randy, all the time.
B-O-B-B-Y-B-Y, Bobby, Bobby Sox.
She likes to dance.
She likes to dance.
She really rocks.
She really rocks.
All the hip cats call her a little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Always on the phone.
Always on the phone.
A little chatterbox.
A little chatterbox.
A real heartbreaker. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Walks with a wiggle, talks with a giggle, jeans and sloppy joes. She's not a phony, hair in a pony, digs all the picture shows. When she starts to strut,
when she starts to strut,
up and down the block,
up and down the block,
the wolves start howling, a little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox. B-O-B-B-Y-B, Bobby, Bobby Sox. Bobby Sox.
Cuter than a doll.
Cuter than a doll.
Sharper than a fox.
Sharper than a fox.
Pretty as a picture. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Always has a dime.
Always has a dime.
For the old jukebox.
For the old jukebox.
Sings all the latest. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
She's real cool and crazy. And a little lazy. So many things to do. When she starts to jive,
when she starts to jive,
everybody flocks,
everybody flocks,
to take a lesson from a little Miss Bobby Sox.
Little Miss Bobby Sox. Bobby!
As you were coming out of the rockabilly phase, did you get back into country then after... after that brief...
Not really, no, because, see, I did pop with Paul Dixon, and with Miss Lyons I did, you know, with the orchestras. And after, you know, WLW quit, you know, they took the Midwestern Hayride off of the air. Can you believe that?
That was,
in 1974.
It was still having good ratings.
Well, sure it did.
Mm-hmm.
We never really knew when the hayride was coming on because of the Cincinnati Reds baseball games. See, and that's why maybe our ratings did go down because of that, because the people didn't know when we were going to be on.
Tweedledee, 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 tweedledee,
I was just wanted to ask you about a few people that you worked with over on the hayride and at camp.
Uh-huh.
Louis Annis. Was he on the hayride also? Or
yes, he was.
I thought so,
yes.
Yeah.
And he was on all my recordings out there at King. And then when WLW let a lot of people go, Louis went to Nashville, to the Grand Ole Opry, and that's where he stayed. And I think he probably did a lot of recordings down there. Tremendous guitar player.
And
rhythm guitar.
And Zeke Turner, another guy he had a lot of recordings that he played on.
Yes, he was on my sessions, too, and he was on Midwestern Hayride. Then he and his wife, they moved to Daytona Beach. Mm-hmm. And Zeke just passed away about a year and a half ago.
Well, it was an era that was incredible for the recording and the music. And it's so nice to talk to you today. And I really appreciate you coming in.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you too, Randy, and all our wonderful listeners.
In the fall of 2007, Rusty York dropped by WVXU Studios to talk with Stuart Holman about his work at King Records.
An introduction of myself then, Stuart Holman, here on the left side of the microphone, having grown up in Cincinnati and currently logging in at age 57, having played guitar most of those years. So infatuated with the important sounds of King Records when I was a kid and growing up, and what an important part of my musical heritage. Just a little background there, on and off 3 years with the infamous Lonnie Mack, some in town and some out of town, and it's my pleasure to be here today with Rusty York. Rusty, welcome.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Just found out that you've got a Harlan County background, and I was born in Pineville and spent most of my summers as a child in Harlan. What about Harlan?
Well, Harlan is just up the road from Pineville.
And how long did you live in Harlan?
Until I moved to Breathitt County.
How old were you then?
Probably 14.
So were you playing bluegrass in Harlan when you were a child? Were you playing before that?
No.
And you started in Breathitt County?
Yes.
And on the guitar, is that right?
Yes.
Let's talk about, try to get into the King Records side of your experience, and I'm just real curious to hear what you have to say about that. What was your first contact with Sid Nathan?
Well, one time someone called me, Lou Epstein from Jimmy Skinner Music Center, and he said, do you know anybody can sing like Buddy Holly? I said, sure.
Who was
so
that?
I was kidding. So it was me.
Yeah, sure. When you say Jimmy Skinner's Music Center, is that a large music store in downtown Cincinnati?
Yes, it was very large. It was at 222 East 5th Street, across from the bus station.
And who was Epstein?
He was the manager of the place, and he died at 39 years old.
So what did Nathan have in mind when he was looking around for somebody to sing like Buddy Holly?
He wanted to cover Buddy Holly's Peggy Sue.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. Yes, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you. Oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. Yes, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. I need you, Peggy Sue.
I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, oh, Peggy. And my Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue. I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Yes, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Yes, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue.
So you cut Peggy Sue at King Records.
It was 1957.
When you did that session, you were brought in as a singer, and then there were musicians there to play behind you. That had you played with them before? Did you even know those people?
No. I had not played with them before.
Yeah, you know, Sid was the first, goes down in history as the first person to pretty much develop the concept of studio musicians rather than bringing in your band.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you and Bonnie Lou also worked together at King, did you not?
Yes, about 60.
Did you sing as a duo?
Yes, we did. We did La Di Da and Let the School Bells Ring, Ting a Ling.
So
we'd say that was straight-ahead country?
No, it was rock and roll.
Once again, session musicians there.
I brought a band. I was playing in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and I brought the band down, and I figured out that you don't bring a band in.
Sid was a notch ahead of you on that. He'd already figured it. So that didn't work?
No, it didn't.
So your band, you tried it, didn't work, and you had to make other arrangements.
Well, we recorded with the band, but I never would go back in the studio again with the band.
Let's address rockabilly a little bit. We know what that sounds like and kind of what the instrumentation is and the beat and how that's put together. But I'm just curious, when you were playing rockabilly, was that word floating around?
No, no, not at all. We called it rock and roll.
My shake 'em up, baby, she's the best dancing food in town. My shake 'em up, baby, she's the best dancing fool in town. Well, she can shake it up right, she can shake it all upside down. She can shake it like a monkey shakes on a coconut tree. She can shake it like a monkey shakes on a coconut tree. She can do the bop, bop's real fine with me. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, 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 shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up all the time. Shotgun on his trail. Yeah, she can shake it like a rabbit with a shotgun on his trail. Like an old alley cat when the hound dog grabs his tail. Well, she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. Yeah, she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. Well, she can do the chicken, all you gotta do is tell her when. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, 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 shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up all the time. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, baby.
Around Cincinnati, during that period, and we're talking pre-Sugar Ray, or right at that time when that style of rock and roll that we now refer to as rockabilly was happening, would you go into clubs and venues like that around Cincinnati, and was that the music that you heard?
Yeah, I heard quite a few of those type songs, but one night I was at the Old Hickory Cafe. I got up on stage and I performed Mystery Train. And I shook my legs and everything, and just making fun of them. And Pat Nelson happened to be there, and he said, oh, we got to do a rock and roll record. The crowd became unglued.
Because of your gyrations and your singing and the style of music. So it was it was overwhelming. And you were doing it as a spoof.
Yes, I was.
And were you playing with the Cajuns at that time?
I had recorded with the Cajuns, but that was later on. Then we went out right away and we cut Red Rooster for one side and the other, Sugar Ray was the other side. I had the Cajuns with me. We recorded it two or three times.
When you say two or three times, are you talking about a takes in the studio?
Yes.
And tell us about that studio experience on Sugar Ray. Were those studio musicians?
They were the Cajuns.
What was the setup in the studio regarding live and overdubbing? Was there any overdubbing on that record?
No, not at all, because they didn't have overdubbing in those days.
Mm-hmm. Was your drummer in the room with you?
Yes.
So the band went in and set up some microphones, you played the tune, and either it was a take or it wasn't.
Yes.
And did that include the vocals, too?
Yes.
I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. Oh, well, my baby wasn't lying. She was coming home to stay. Sugary, sugary. Pencil and a paper, and I said right down to write. I got a pencil and a paper, and I said right down to write. I said I miss you in the daytime, but I miss you more at night. Sugary, sugary. Station. She had her baggage in her hand. Well, I met her at the station. She had her baggage in her hand. I said, I love you, pretty baby. I'll make you happy if I can. Sugary, sugary.
How did the selection of Sugary come about?
Pat Nelson, who was my erstwhile manager, said, let's do Sugary. But he first mentioned a few others, like Love Me and Great Balls of Fire. So we decided on Sugary, and I just made the words up. He said, it's going to be the B-side anyway, so just go and do it.
On the spot.
Yes.
Sugary became a major hit record. What was the timing, Rusty, between recording, when you recorded it and when it started to really take off?
We had it out on PJ label, then we sold it to Note, and then we sold it to Chess. We first took it around to everybody, and they said, nah, we don't want that.
What was the time frame in there between when you first cut it and when Chess finally...
A month or two.
That's still pretty rapid.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the Dick Clark tour. What was the timing between Sugary catching on and Dick Clark getting in touch with you and making that tour happen?
Well, he started playing it right away on his American Bandstand. He called me and they said, what do you want to do about this? And I said, well, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we can have you on the Dick Clark Saturday Night Beechnut Show. And I said, okay, sure.
That was a no-brainer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Also with you there was Duane Eddy.
Yes.
Frankie Avalon.
Yes.
And the renowned Annette Funicello.
Yes.
And were you traveling with your band on that tour? Or was did Dick's tour have a band and you fronted the band?
They had a band, and I only did one number, Sugary.
And that was it?
Yes.
Did you ever appear on the TV show?
Yes, I did.
What about the Hollywood Bowl?
Well, they say that I'm the first one to ever do rock and roll at the Hollywood Bowl. Mm-hmm.
And was that with your band, or was that on the Dick Clark tour?
That was on the Dick Clark tour.
Mm-hmm. You remember that night?
Yes, I do. I remember going to sleep downstairs, and then when I woke up, Dick Clark said, did Rusty York ever show up? And I said, I've been here for hours. So... He said, okay, you're ready to do that number.
And was that a crowd that was reacting in a way that was pretty powerful for you?
Yes.
Yeah, they're really enjoying
it. There was flash bulbs popping all over the place.
Wow.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my wheel, but what a thrill. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. I liked that loving, but I thought it was funny. You came along and you moved me, honey. I changed my mind, this love is mine. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby. Ooh, feels good. Hold me, baby. I wanna love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. Wanna tell the world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and then I twiddle my thumbs. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Oh, baby, you drive me crazy. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. Love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. Gonna tell the world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumbs. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Oh, baby, you drive me crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I think we all know, back to the King side of things, we all know that Sid Nathan was his own man, always thinking, always ahead of the pack. I was amazed when I discovered that he had paired you up with Hank Ballard in the Midnighters. What was that all about?
We were pressing at King Records, and I went down to Carl Burkhart's studio one day. So I was pressing some Jewel records. So they were pressing them down there.
Now let's inform our listening audience here. Carl Burkhart,
right, Records
here in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And when you say you're pressing a Jewel, what you're referring to there is you had done some sessions at your studio, Jewel.
Yes.
And you were taking those tapes to King for pressing. Is that correct?
Yes,
okay.
I was.
And so back to Hank.
When I cut Sugar Ree, Sid Nathan called in Hank Ballard, and they did Sugar Ree, their version of it. So we were pressing there, and they said, sorry.
King was such a blending of cultures, really, and different types of music. An amazing amount of variety came out of there. And one of the things that also happened down there was an amazing blend of blacks and whites at a time when that was a little bit atypical. And reflected in the music, and sessions involved black players and white players and so forth. Did you experience that down there? And I'm just curious, what was the racial situation like in those walls?
There was a lot of tension when I recorded with Hank Ballard's band, and they were drinking apple wine. I said, I'll have some of that. So they were drinking out of half a pint bottles. So I took some and drunk it. And sure enough, I started gelling with the band.
It lightened the tension in the room a little bit.
Yes.
What'd you record with them?
Tore Up Over You, written by Hank Ballard.
Mm-hmm. And was that released as a single?
Yes, uh-huh. It was. It was Good Night Cincinnati, Good Morning Tennessee,
right.
Was one of them. And
was Good Night Cincinnati meant to be the A-side? I'm just curious.
Well, who knows? Mm-hmm. Because it had been a hit by a country guy.
Well, good night, Cincinnati, and good morning, Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee. I've been from Maine to Frisco, yes, I've traveled everywhere. I've rode the blinds and gone first class when I could pay the fare. There's not a train I didn't ride while I was on the roam. Now show me to an upper berth, cause I'm a-coming home. I've rode the Dixie Flyer, super cheap in Santa Fe.
The B&O and Chesapeake both put me on my way. Now I'm aboard the Hummingbird, she's a humming, yes siree. It's good night Cincinnati, good morning Tennessee. I've been in all the cities, lots of people I have met, but there's one kind of special that I know I can't forget. She'll be waiting at the station with a great big kiss for me. It's good night Cincinnati, good morning Tennessee. Well, good night Cincinnati and good morning Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night Cincinnati, good morning Tennessee. Well, good night Cincinnati and good morning Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night Cincinnati and good morning Tennessee. They say good night Cincinnati, good morning Tennessee.
Well, what about Bobby Bear?
I fronted the Bobby Bear Band for a long time.
Did Bobby Bear do any recording at King?
He recorded All American Boy there.
And that was a pretty good size.
Yes, it was number two.
What other recordings did you do at King? And what about your last session? Do you remember that one or when that might have been?
I recorded Bluegrass at King.
And was that towards the tail end of what you did down there?
Yes. I was going to tell you about the time that I found the audition tapes from King. I was down in Somerset, Kentucky, 200 or 300 miles from Cincinnati. And I came across the tapes that I had made. They were $5 each. There was no CDs in those days.
So those you found those for sale in a shop down there?
And a flea market.
Unbelievable. And needless to say, you brought them all back.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. And so I put them on, and they broke right away. And, of course, the tape was brittle, but I patched it back together.
And there's been an awful lot of good music that's come out of Jewel over the years, too. And I wanted to mention Lonnie Mack's Whatever's Right was cut out there. And I think part of the Hills of Indiana was cut out there, if I'm not mistaken, too, wasn't it?
He recorded an album with us that was on Elektra, and that was a big label in those days.
Absolutely. And what's this about the Grateful Dead at Jewel Records?
They came there once.
And was that like just an afternoon session? Were they passing through town, or what was that all about?
They flew in specially for this session.
Rusty, thanks for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, here we go.
Well, arrested on the charges of an unemployment, he wasn't sitting in the witness stand. The judge's wife told the district attorney, better free that brown-eyed man. If you want your job, you better free that brown-eyed man. Flying across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walking across the sand. She walked 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Well, away back in history 3,000 years ago, and ever since the world began, been a whole lot of loving women shedding tears for a brown-eyed handsome man. The fighting trouble was a brown-eyed handsome man. Daughter couldn't make up her mind between a doctor and a lawyer man. Well, her mama said, baby, go out and find yourself a brown-eyed handsome man like your daddy. He's a brown-eyed handsome man. Milo Venus was a beautiful lass. She had the world in the palm of her hand. She lost both her arms in a wrestling match to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. She fought and won herself a brown-eyed handsome man. Well, two and three to count with nobody on. He hit a high fly into the stand. He rounded third, he was heading for home. He was a brown-eyed handsome man. He won the ball game. A brown-eyed handsome man. A brown-eyed handsome man. He was a brown-eyed handsome man.
Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yes, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Out to a picture show, she said, man, no, 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 no. Take me where lights don't blur, I'll show you how this cat can purr. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yes, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. I took her out to have some fun. I took her down where the hot rods run. She looked at me, said big and loud, look man, there's too much of a crowd. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, I took her out where the lights were bright. She showed me just how she could purr. I held her up so close to me. The way she was shaking, I could see that my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yeah, my baby's got.
Bonnie Lou currently resides on the eastern side of Cincinnati. Rusty York still owns Jewel Recording Studios in Mount Healthy, Ohio, and lives in Indiana. This has been part 5 of an ongoing series, King Records, Cincinnati Legacy, and was produced in the studios of WBXU. Technical assistance from Darren Blaze and Shake It Records. I'm Lee Hay.